I'm glad that those who are listening by way of radio tonight are listening in. And I pray that our discussion tonight will be beneficial to everyone in their individual walks of life, and that we as a congregation can consider these same things concerning this congregation as well. Bob Buford was a highly successful man, getting into television in the very earliest of days of cable television. By the time he was middle-aged, Bob had made so much money and had succeeded so much that he realized he had already accomplished most of his life's goals. So what does one do when he has achieved most of his life goals? Well, Bob Buford did what most sports teams do. He called a timeout, or rather a halftime. You know how sports teams will go out and they'll play for a little while, and then they'll take halftime and they'll go in, they'll evaluate what they did in the first half, evaluate how successful it was, look at all the things they need to change, and then they make adjustments to go out and play the second half better than they played the first half. Bob Buford, when he realized he had accomplished most of his life goals, decided that that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to evaluate his life, make adjustments, so that he could finish out the way he wanted to finish. So he and his wife talked, and after they talked for a good while, they decided that they were going to call in a strategic planner. The consultant's name was Mike Cammy. Mike Cammy was considered at that time one of the best strategic planners of all America. So Bob Buford and his wife wanted Mike to come in and to plan with them what they would do and how they would spend the rest of their lives. So Mike did that. He came and he met with the Bufords. He sat down and he talked with them about many things, helping them to think about their past and what they had done and what they had accomplished, how they had accomplished those things, and then to evaluate all of those things in light of where they wanted to be and how they wanted to finish out their years. Then Mike did something very interesting. He set before the couple a box. And he instructed them concerning that box that they needed to decide what went in the box. He instructed them further that there was only one thing that could go in the box. And they had to decide of all the things they wanted to accomplish, of all the things they wanted to be a part of, what one thing mattered most to them. Mike said then that everything they planned to do with the rest of their lives would have everything to do with what they put in the box. Some of you may remember the world's greatest debacle in corporate history. It took place in 1985. Mike Cammy happened to be part of the proceedings. Mike Cammy was invited by Coca-Cola to come and sit down with them as they were trying a shift in marketing. They asked Mike Cammy to come in and talk with them about their plan, and so he did. And he sat around with the heads of Coca-Cola as they discussed what they wanted to accomplish. Then Mike brought out the box. And he instructed them that you can only put one thing in the box. Then he asked them, "What do you want to put in the box?" The heads of Coca-Cola discussed it for several hours. And after lengthy discussion, they came back to Mike and said, "What we want in the box is the best tasting soft drink in America." So Mike developed a strategic plan, a plan to develop the best tasting soft drink in America. And they did so. Mike Cammy and the heads of Coca-Cola did all the research that was needed and planned to make the best tasting soft drink in America. And they accomplished it. So Coca-Cola went and they started pulling off drinks off their shelves, replacing it everywhere with the new Coke. But if you remember what happened, the sales of Coca-Cola plummeted. Almost overnight plummeted. Americans didn't want the new Coke, the best tasting Coke. What they wanted was the original Coke. They wanted their Coke back. This became such a scene that it made headlines in the national news in 1985. Coca-Cola's huge debacle. The heads of Coca-Cola called Mike Cammy back in, and of course they were angry. They were furious. They said, "Mike, what have you done to us?" He said, "It wasn't my fault. You said you wanted the best tasting Coke in the box, and we did that. You had the best tasting Coke not only in the box, but on the shelves all across America. The problem is Americans don't want the new tasting Coke. They want the original tasting Coke, the classic. You put the wrong thing in the box. I suggest that we take out of the box that Coke, and instead you need to figure out what goes in the box." After they talked about it, the heads of Coca-Cola decided, "We want to place in the box that Coca-Cola is an American tradition. We want people to think of Coke when they take a break. We want people to think about Coke when they're on their way home from school. We want people to think about Coke when they celebrate a birthday or when they just get together. We want them to say, 'Stop and pick up the Coke.'" Mike Cammy explained all of these things to Bob Buford and his wife. Then he said, "You've got to decide what you put in the box." Maybe there's someone here tonight who's struggling with what that one thing is that goes in the box. Maybe they're struggling because they love their sports and they want to play sports. They want to have great credentials when it comes to athletic procedures. And so they want sports to be that one thing in the box. Maybe someone's gifted with knowledge. They're real smart. Maybe they don't have to study near as hard as I did. And so their life centers around their academics and how well they're doing at school. Maybe it's the case that someone wants to be the employee of the month. They want to be known at work for all that they do, the long hours that they put in, coming early, staying late. They just want to be known by all of their coworkers as that one that goes above and beyond. Maybe that's the one thing that they're struggling with, about putting in the box. I recognize we have some teenagers, we have some young people in here tonight. Maybe they're struggling with social media. They want the one thing in the box to be their social media. How many followers do I have? How many people liked that picture? How many people said positive things about me? How many people shared my latest status? So they spend all of their time on social media and working with it. What goes in the box? Maybe for some tonight, retirement will be the one thing in the box. All you can think about, everything you do, is setting yourself up for retirement. So you're working to store away enough money to be able to survive without a job. any of these things, and many others as well, might be in someone's box if they could just put one thing in the box. Tonight I ask you, if you could only put one thing in the box, what is that one thing that you would put in there? What would be the one thing that you would want to influence every decision in your life? Three things were important to Bob and his wife. His corporate business that had made him big money and allowed him thereby to be very generous for Christ, as he put it. Second was his family. His family was very important to him. And Christ was very important. At first, Bob and his wife wanted to know why they couldn't just put all three in the box. I mean, they were so closely related to one another. His business had been a family endeavor. His family tried to follow Christ. Why couldn't they just put all three? But that was not allowed. Ultimately, he and his wife had to decide on one thing to put in the box. And they chose Christ. When we choose to put Christ in the box, we choose to allow Him to affect every decision we make in our lives. If we were to ask the Apostle Paul, what would you put in the box? I believe that his letter to the brethren at Philippi shows that it would be Christ. It would be Christ. Philippians chapter 4, and verse number 13, you know it very well. The New King James Version renders it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to consider with me three things that Paul makes very clear in the letter that we have. It is titled, The Letter to the Philippians. He said, I can do all things. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 19, Paul said, For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul wanted all things to magnify Christ in the way that he lived and in the way that he would die. He wanted them to magnify Christ. Paul then explains in verse number 21, Philippians chapter 1. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ is another way of Paul saying all things are going to be about Christ. He's the one I put in the box. Every decision that I make is going to be based upon Christ being in the box. Any decision that might take Christ out of the box is non-negotiable. Christ is in the box. Any decision that may affect how I pursue what is in the box is non-negotiable. Christ is in the box. He continues to explain, verse 22 to 24. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is far very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. In other words, all things are about Christ. And all things, I want Christ to be supreme in my life. Then he says that if Christ needs to use him in a way that he dies, he wants Christ to use him in that way to magnify him. If I'm going to live, I want to live for Christ. If I'm going to die, I want my death to bring glory to Christ. When Paul said to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake, he meant that while he lived, he was going to help people, help those around him put Christ in their box. How many of you have lived a great many years with Christ in the box? Paul did, and his conclusion was, as long as I live, I'm going to help those around me put Christ in the box. Is there a young family that needs your influence to put Christ in the box? Maybe look down the pew from you tonight. Who's here this morning, not here tonight? Paul said, as long as I live, I've got Christ in the box, and I'm going to influence everyone around me so that they too will put Christ in the box. Do Christians see Christ in our efforts to help provide for the needs of the church? Do Christians see us as an influence upon the people of the church, meeting one another's needs? It's what Paul was living to do. Do Christians see our efforts to provide for the needs of this community? Does this community see us caring for them in such a way that we would be showing them how to put Christ in the box? Are you a blessing to the spiritual lives of those around you or not? Are your friends closer to God because of your relationship with them? Or are they moving away from Christ because of your influence in their life? Do people see Christians living a life in which Christ is in everything that we do, and that He's in everything that we do because of the way that we do it? Do people see Christ in the way that we care for each other and for this community? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 3, he says, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Paul wanted to live his life through Christ. Once he became a Christian, he stopped having confidence in his own flesh. You look at verses 4 and following, and basically, what Paul says is, as a young Jewish man, he could have won any bragging contest with any other young Jewish man. Put out your credentials, lay them out on the line, and Paul could have went toe-to-toe with any one of them. But he chose not to brag about anything he had accomplished other than Christ. He wasn't proud of the years of him teaching his own children and leaving many others unattended. He wasn't proud of the fact that he had taught scores of people. He was proud of the fact that he knew Christ and Him crucified. Instead of bragging about himself and his own life, he decided that if there were any parts of his life that were contrary to Christ being in the box, he would give them up. all aspects of his life then would be used for Christ's glory. Here's the application. We need to give up sin. We need to give up all of those things that distract us from serving the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Then all of the things that God has given to us, we are to use for His glory. God's given you the ability to make a decent means of living. Great. Use that decent means of living to glorify God. God's given you a nice vehicle. Use that vehicle for God's glory. God's given you the opportunity and the abilities which He's given to you. Use every one of them for His glory. You're all about ball play? Play ball in such a way that everyone sees Christ in you. That they see something different about the way you play the game. It's academics. It's that mind that God has given to you. What have you used it for? How have you used it to help someone else's life be a little bit better? What knowledge do you have? What wisdom have you gained that you could share with someone else? You want to be employee of the month? Be employee of the month. Not for the notoriety. Not for yourself, but so that Christ can have another example of one in the workplace. You're using social media? How many Bible studies have you set up on social media? How many friends have you talked to about Christ? How many Bible verses have you shared as compared to all the other things that go on in social media? You ready for retirement? God's given you that ability. God's afforded you that opportunity. Use that opportunity to have the time and the energy to put back in someone else's life. To help them. Not put all those worldly things in the box, but put Christ in the box. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Paul lived his life to gain Christ. To gain Christ. That's what his aim was. And everything else fell in line with that one goal, that one aim. Look at verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Paul wanted to know three things. He wanted to know Him. He wanted to know Jesus Christ. How well do you know the people you love? How well do you know the things that you love? How well do you know Christ? It shows how much you love Him. Paul not only wanted to know Christ, he wanted to know the power of His resurrection. He is our only hope beyond the grave. He's our only hope. How well do we know Him? Do we have a desire to know the power of His resurrection? Paul also wanted to know the fellowship of His suffering. Paul was a partner with Christ, even in suffering. That kind of commitment is required of all followers. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Because Christ did not suffer so that we don't have to. Christ suffered, leaving us an example of how to suffer. If we're going to do all things through Christ, then we must know Him. We must know His power, all the power which He has, even over death, and know that we are ready to suffer with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 and following, and 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul found his strength in Christ to be greater than any situation he found himself in. When we look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, when we see that Paul places verse 13 in the context of contentment. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In all and in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. The New King James has the word abased. Paul said, I know how to be abased. That word literally means to be humiliated. Paul is saying that I can be humiliated because of the life I have chose to live. Because I have chose to put Christ in the box, I can be humiliated. And I will go right on with Christ. I will not give up on Him. Christ has conditioned me to be that way. Or, on the other hand, He said I can abound. In Greek, literally, it means to superabound, to overflow like a river at flood stage. Paul had learned to be content so that even in abounding, he would not forget Christ. Thus, Paul was content no matter the situation. You see, when we get into a situation, we become all about the situation. When we get into a situation in which we're being humiliated, we want the quickest exit. We want to find the fastest way out. If things are going good, we become all about what's going good, what's going right. We're excited, we're sharing, but let some time pass and those things fizzle. And we go back to being the day in and day out self that we are. Paul said, I had to learn to be content. He learned to be content. Christ is the one who gave him the strength to keep his focus on Christ and to keep his focus on His kingdom, not on being abased, not on being abased, not on being humiliated, not on abounding and having a lot, but on Christ. You see, many in the world are pursuing the things that they might put in the box. And because of such, when things are bad, they blame God. When things are going great, God is great. God is good. Paul said, I learned to be content. And when I learned to be content, whether it was a great day or a bad day by the world's standards, it was a great day because I was with Christ. Paul learned to be content with Christ. No matter what happened around him or to him, he learned to be with Christ in all things, Philippians chapter 1. He learned to live through Christ, Philippians 3, so as not to miss his one aim, which was Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As long as Paul was on aim toward the mark of Christ, he could persevere through the best of days and the worst of days. The only thing that Paul could not do was live a day without Christ. In that, he would be discontent. So I ask you this evening, is it time to call a halftime in your life? Is it time to call a halftime to consider the past and all that you have accomplished and the ways in which you have accomplished those things? Evaluate what has been done and make adjustments for the future. Is it time for this congregation to call a halftime? To evaluate the past. Evaluate what has been done. What is being done, and what needs to be done for the future. So we, like Bob Buford, can finish out our lives upon this earth the way we want to finish. It is time to decide on that one thing and one thing only that goes in the box. No matter the age, it's time to decide what that one thing is and see to it that's put in the box. That one thing that will influence everything else that we do, everything else that we attempt, and the one thing that will truly be our identity. If you're not a child of God, we want you to put Christ in the box tonight. We want to help you do that. You need to listen to what God has to say. He says it to all of us. It's His written word which He's provided for us so that we can know what He has to say to us. Romans 10 and 17. Believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And believe also in His Son. John 20 verses 30 and 31. Repent of your sins. Acts 3 and verse 19. Repent of all those things that's been put in the box, taking the place of Christ. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Be baptized for the remission of sins. Mark 16, 16. 1 Peter 3, 21. Acts 22, 16. If you're not a child of God, we want you to choose to put Christ in the box tonight. If you are a Christian, a baptized believer, then evaluate your Christian life. Evaluate your life and see to it that Christ is the one that's in the box. And if you put anything else in there with Him, you've crowded Him out. So get rid of those things. See to it that He's the one, He's the only one in the box. If He has not been in the box, put Him in the box tonight. Put Him back. By confessing the wrong, turning away from the practices of sin and seeking forgiveness from Him. Acts chapter 8, verse 22 and 24. We're about to conclude the services here. We'll all leave. In just a matter of hours, this building will be empty. Don't leave tonight with an empty box. Don't leave tonight with anything else in the box but Jesus Christ, who can be your Lord and Savior. Because if there's anything else in the box, your priorities are not right. You're not living a life that's going to leave a legacy behind. Not for you, not for me, but leave a legacy behind for Jesus Christ and what He can do in the lives of those in this world. Tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come, put Christ in the box as we stand and as we sing.